It is a great privilege, honor, and responsibility to stand before and speak to the priesthood assembled in this tabernacle and in the 800 buildings in the United States and Canada. This is the largest group of priesthood ever gathered to hear the voice of the prophet. And when we think that they can hear this through closed circuit transmission as he speaks to them, it reminds me that we have an open conduit and a private closed circuit or wave by which we can speak to our Heavenly Father and hear him if we'll be in tune and try to listen to him. I often wonder if we really appreciate what the priesthood means. President Romney, who is so close to the Lord, has given us instructions tonight, which if we would follow would help us to appreciate the priesthood and enjoy the blessings of those who magnify their callings in the priesthood. If I should say in my talk tonight, magnify the priesthood, I should like to go on and say to be in complete harmony with President Romney in the office which you hold. Because that is what we should do, our brother. We have this heavy responsibility placed upon us when we're given the priesthood of God. Every time I think of the priesthood, I think of that great responsibility, honor, and privilege we have of speaking and acting in the name of our Heavenly Father, and the responsibility it places upon us. And I often say, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to realize who we are, what we have, and what our responsibilities are? I'd like to say to these young men, have a good time. Play basketball, play football, play tennis, play anything you want to play, as long as do anything you want to do as long as it's right. But honor your priesthood wherever you are, that you might be an example to the world. I'd like to deal briefly with the question of how we, as priesthood holders, should live, and I'd like to say just a few words first about the family. The father must realize always that the family is the most important thing in his life. He should never neglect his family. But as he does it, as he looks after his family, he should remember that if he is going to enjoy the family now and throughout eternity, it's essential that they live according to the teachings of the gospel. And remember that no other success can compensate for failure in the home. And remember that it is in the home where most impressive teachings are taught and where the lives of our children are shaped. If we love God, I'm speaking now to the priesthood. Someone will be saying, what about the girls and what about the mothers and what about the women? I'm speaking to the priesthood as they should act. And if the father will love God, love his wife, love his family, and honor his priesthood, he'll have very little to worry about. And if all the priesthood would do that throughout the world, what a great influence we would have on the world. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Keep the word of wisdom strictly. Pray always and be honest with one another and with your fellow men. Study the gospel. Know what is expected of you, why we are here, and that we are actually spirit children of God, and as such, keep ourselves morally clean. And that's one thing, fathers, we should teach our boys to do. I'd like to give you, as I speak about the family and the father, an example by reading what Sister McKay said about President David O. McKay. I am very, very proud of my husband. He is just as lovely, just as courteous, just as polite, just as kind, and just as sweet in our home as he is anywhere else. And I am very proud of him. I am grateful for him. I cannot see anything wrong with him. I pray that our brethren will try to follow his example in every way, shape, and form. And I can't think of much better advice, brethren, for us to have. An example of good teaching. I remember a young man telling me one day about his parents and how they didn't just teach him to go to the temple, to prepare to go to the temple. They went to the temple. And as they were preparing to go to the temple, they'd talk about it and what experience they would have and what a great privilege it is to go to the temple. And they go regularly. And when they'd return from their temple, They would talk about it, and what a lovely thing it was to see that young couple married in the temple, how pure people, realizing that they could then be parents of spirit children of God, and what a great privilege it was for them to be there in the temple. Well, he could hardly wait then for the time to come when he could go in and receive his own endowments, and how important it was that he would prepare himself to be clean and pure and go there knowing that the Lord would accept him. Personally, I should like to express my appreciation, which I've always felt, for my father. Father taught us to pray by praying. It seemed that he was always talking to the Lord when we kneeled down in family prayer, and he taught us to pray privately. He was honest, honorable, upright in his dealings. I wish I had time to tell you some of the experiences that I had to know that he was honest and upright in his dealings with his fellow men. He magnified his priesthood, and he expected us to do it. He would always showed great love for Mother. He used to take us hunting and fishing, as busy as we were on the farm. He found it difficult, I'm sure, to leave. But he'd go with us, and he'd never go on Sunday. He never thought of that. We always attended our meetings regularly with him. I remember some of my friends saying, "Boy, I wish I had a dad like yours." It's sure great to be with him. And I can tell you that we boys, there were four of us, would rather be with our dad than anybody else. And fathers, that's important that you're with your boys so that they can see how you live and you can see how they live. And we'd rather be with our dad at that time than anybody, because he was a good father. And I remember him placing confidence in me. We used to work on the farm, as I said before, and he'd call me in the evening or early morning and discuss his plans for the program of the day and ask me what I thought about it. Should we do this or should we do that? And I felt that I was a part of it. I know now that he had his plans pretty well formed, but he placed that confidence in me. And realizing that I was a part of it, I worked my head off to accomplish it. And I loved my dad for it. And then I remember one day him saying to me, "You know, my son, I'd rather have you than any hired man I have. I have full confidence in you, and you surely do a good day's work." It's very important that we help our boys set their goals high and then set about to reach them, and that we understand that Satan is there, has been told us twice tonight, to destroy us, to discourage us, to tempt us, and to lead us astray. I'd like to illustrate a beautiful experience, which is very touching to me. I hope Bishop Featherstone won't mind me mentioning him as the one about whom I'm going to speak. He had come home after work, got into his lounging clothes, and his young son, Joe, said, who had just after they'd moved here from their lovely home where he had all kinds of friends and was very popular, "Dad, I wish you'd give me a special blessing so that I can adjust and feel at home, be happy here." And his father went upstairs and changed his clothes. And as he was coming down, his wife said, "Surely you're not going out tonight." He said, "I'm going to give someone a blessing." And then he said, "Joe's asked for a special blessing. And I wanted to be dressed and ready to honor the priesthood and to show Joe the interest I had in him and to make it possible for him to enjoy the blessings that he had, the faith in me holding the priesthood, that I could give it to him." Brethren, that's the spirit to have. And of course, he told his wife, you can just naturally imagine, and it did happen. She shed tears to think that she had a husband, the father of her son, who would be an example and be so interested in him that he would be prepared to represent the Lord in the priesthood that he holds. I'd like to say just a few words to the bishops, to the other officers in the wards and stakes, including the stake president, and to mission presidents. We have a heavy responsibility, and especially does the bishop with his counselors have the responsibility for the Aaronic priesthood. Much has been said about that tonight, but I'd like to say just a few words. You should know every boy by his first name. Show an interest in him. Stay close to him. When you know his first name, use his first name. You remember when God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, appeared to Joseph And he asked the question. God turned to him and said, Joseph, calling him by name, this is my beloved son. And a boy likes to hear his name called. Let us remember and remind our boys always, when they're officiating as holders of the priesthood, that they are representing the Lord. They can have their good times every other place and play the way they want to do, but when they're officiating in the priesthood, they should realize that they're representing the Lord and be so dressed and so prepared and humble and reverent as they go forward in that work. And remember what the Lord would like to have us be. And bishops, it's important that we help them to understand and appreciate what the priesthood means. Just a very brief statement. When I was a bishop, I had 6 boys old enough to be ordained elders, and I could only recommend 5 of them because one of them wasn't ready. We had talked about it several times, and he had said to me, I'm not worthy to be. He felt very badly about it, but he didn't expect to be recommended to the stake president. His uncle came and said, you're surely not going to hold that boy back with these 5 friends going forward? And he pled with me to let him go. He said, you'd be driving him out of the church if you don't. I said to this man, the priesthood is the most important thing that we can give this boy. We're not handing the priesthood out on a silver platter. This boy and I understand each other, and he's not ready to be ordained an elder. And he wasn't recommended. A few years later, I was attending a general conference right here on this temple square, and a young man came up to me, and he said, President Tanner, you wouldn't remember me. I'm the boy that you didn't recommend to be ordained an elder. And he put his hand out and he said, I want to thank you for it. I'm a bishop now in California. If you had recommended me when I wasn't worthy, I would never possibly never appreciated what the priesthood is and what's expected of one. And surely I'd have never been a bishop as I am today. Bishops, these young men don't expect something for nothing. They don't appreciate anything they get for nothing. And they should realize and appreciate just what the priesthood means and then be prepared to qualify and be worthy before they are advanced. By a searching interview, know that they're ready for the temple recommend, for advancement in the priesthood, for a mission or anything that you're considering them for, and be sure they're ready. It's certainly no no good to recommend someone when he is not ready. In fact, it's a great disservice, and it shouldn't be done. Help them to appreciate what it means and the importance of being ready for it. Encourage them. Let them know that you love them and do all you can to help them prepare. I'd like to say, bishops, as fathers of the ward, you have the great privilege, the great joy of directing all the affairs in the ward, and to help these young men become the kind of young men who will be the leaders in your ward and the stake and sitting on this stand sometimes. Some of them certainly will. Help them to prepare and help them to appreciate that they might be holding responsible positions. And let me say this to you tonight. Everyone holding the priesthood can't hold a responsible position or office, a position, but he can hold an office. And holding the priesthood of God is a great privilege, a great blessing. And it alone, if we honor it, will prepare us for salvation and exaltation. And we're ready to serve the Lord wherever we're called. That's something the world doesn't have. But besides this, you're judges in Israel. And you always should judge and deal with the transgressor with love and confidence, a desire in your heart to help him and carry out your responsibilities to deal with the transgressor. The stake and mission presidents also have this responsibility. It is important that when you know there's iniquity, that you should be kind enough to show an interest in the transgressor and to bring him to repentance. And that is a kindness. Love all, but tolerate no iniquity. When it appears that something is wrong, it is your duty to investigate and handle all cases of transgression according to the seriousness of the case. By moving promptly, you might be able to prevent further transgression. Study the scriptures and the handbook and do as they direct. Bishops and stake presidents must not shirk this responsibility. Anyone who says that he has never disciplined, disfellowshipped, or excommunicated anyone and that he never intends to has entirely the wrong attitude and may himself be held accountable. The Lord has said, any member of the Church of Christ transgressing or being overtaken in fault shall be dealt with as the Scriptures direct. And President Taylor said this, President John Taylor, furthermore, I have heard of some bishops who have been seeking to cover up the iniquities of men. I tell them, in the name of God, they will have to bear them themselves and meet that judgment. And I tell you that any man who tampers with iniquity, he will have to bear that iniquity. And if any of you want to partake of the sins of men or uphold them, you will have to bear them. Do you hear it? Do you, bishops and presidents? God will require it at your hand. You are not placed in a position to tamper with the principles of righteousness, nor to cover up the infamies and corruptions of men. I'd like to say just a few words to the boys, the young men, or the priesthood holders, and the young men particularly. You've been told what your responsibility is tonight. I want to impress upon you the importance of keeping yourselves morally clean, preparing yourselves for the great blessings that only the priesthood will permit you to go and be married in the temple as priesthood holders, fill missions, and do the things that you can do in the offices which you hold. No man, young or old, who holds the priesthood of God can honor the priesthood without honoring and respecting womanhood. Any young man should be prepared to protect a woman's virtue with his life if necessary, and never be guilty of lusting after a woman or doing anything that would degrade her or cause her to lose her virtue. Every young woman has a perfect right to feel safe to go out with a young man holding the priesthood, knowing that he would respect and protect her in every way. We all know the morals of the world are loose. Though we're in the world, we must not be of it. Whether your associates are members of the church or not, and whether or not they are transgressors, they will expect you who hold the priesthood to honor that priesthood and will respect you if you do. And otherwise, they lose confidence in you and respect for you and for the church. If we live each day so that we could look the bishop, the branch president, the stake president, the president of the church or the Lord in the eyes and say, I am doing my best to magnify my priesthood, then we'd be safe. May the Lord help us to appreciate who we are and live accordingly, realizing that we do hold the priesthood of God in the Church of Jesus Christ, the only men in the world who hold that authority to speak in God's name. Assembled here tonight in these different buildings, every office of the church is represented, and the success, the progress of this church depends on you as individuals who hold the priesthood. May we prove worthy, I humbly pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.